This is Rob Long with Martini Shot for The Ankler. I have a friend who has an MBA from a very prestigious business school, but when confronted with things like a balance sheet or a profit and loss statement or the basics of a stock offering, his eyes will just glaze over. My MBA, he says, just didn't take. Which is probably why he's in journalism, though the best and most lucrative place for a person to go who has an MBA that just didn't take is the entertainment industry, which is filled with folks who on paper should know a lot about business, but when it comes right down to it, are less an MBA, Master of Business Administration, and more like, an MWT, say, a Master of Wishful Thinking. Now, it wasn't always like this. The first studio chief I ever met was a classic of the genre. He smoked cigars, he barked at his assistant, he gave pretty much the same note on every project. Where are the sexy people, he'd ask. You need sexy people. This is TV, you know that, right? Now, this is the same guy who once expressed reservations about a half-hour pilot script by saying reportedly, I guess I'm alone here, but I think comedy should be funny, which stung the writers, apparently, but stung them enough that they went back to the drawing board and turned the script into something very funny and, as it unfolded, extremely successful. Don't make this a home movie, he once said to a writer. Okay, B. And he was right. If given half the chance, your typical writer would love to spend millions of dollars making a little show about a small moment in his or her life. In other words, the most expensive home movie. The executive's job is essentially to put a stop to that, to demand sexy people and a lot of laughs. But these days, though, you get a lot of story notes and character notes and thoughts about tone and vision and ambiguity and the kinds of things that the writer is supposed to be fighting for and the executives are supposed to be fighting against. The writer is supposed to be fighting against the crass suits who just want sexy people and a funny act break, and the suits are supposed to be fighting against the dreamy and out-of-touch writer who wants to spend a whole lot of money on something subtle and slow and not very funny. It's all backwards now, in other words, which is why things seem so difficult in show business right now. No one is following their script. Every note session, a writer friend of mine told me last week, begins with these words. It's really funny, but... Do you have any idea how weird it is, he asked, to hear that from an executive? I don't think you need that joke at the end of the scene, they told me. We can just go out on a character moment. I mean, that's what an MWT, a Master of Wishful Thinking, might think. But it's not at all what an MBA would say. But MBAs in the entertainment business no longer want to be the cigar-chomping speaker or brass tacks. They want to be, you know, creatives, thoughtful parts of the artistic process, which means that everybody has had to switch roles. The writers in the entertainment business now are looking for the funny jokes and the attractive people. And the executives are looking for moments and character arcs, which is probably why television these days is either very, very good or very, very bad. Because when people are confused about what they're supposed to be doing, some very good stuff can slip through the cracks and somehow get on the air. And so can the opposite. Now, the first thing an amateur writer does when, you know, he or she sits down to create a TV series is to, you know, figure it all out. Map out the characters, the interrelationships, the future story arcs, possible late season developments, you know, actually create a series. Now, the first thing a professional writer does when he or she sits down to create a television series is to spend a few hours complaining about what's on TV now and why they're not buying anything good and to try to predict exactly how the project he or she is about to start thinking about, or more accurately, about to start thinking about, how that's going to fail. At random times during the process, the writer will stop and ask, innocently sometimes, why won't they buy this again? Now, part of the problem, really, is that you can't successfully map out a TV series with any real accuracy. The only way to create a series is to write a good pilot script and hope that you leave enough open-ended relationships, and that's really all you can do, hope, there's no science to this, that could potentially fill the empty lots of real estate called episodes 2 through 200. You build a house on a promising piece of land, and you hope that the house is interesting and roomy and attractive enough that you'll get enough money and enough customers to build the rest of the housing development. So, I guess I've successfully compared my entire career to trying to build one of those housing developments, you know, the ones you see called, you know, Pheasant Run Acres or Rolling Glen Estates, although I guess in this case they'd be called Syndication Rancho Robles, or the homes at Advance on Contingent Compensation at Episode 60 Paseo. The pilot script is the blueprint. The pilot episode is the model house, all decorated and furnished and totally unlived in. And the money to do all of that comes from reckless investors speculating on a crazy investment. But when you sit down and work out a series on paper, as amateur writers often do, they call it the Bible, as in, hey, I've got a great series I'm working on. Want to read it? We've got an outline and a Bible and everything. Meaning, hey, I haven't written the script. Meaning they've convinced themselves that sitting down at the, you know, the coffee bean or wherever, scheming elaborately about characters and situations and possible future episodes is what counts as writing. But the only thing that counts as writing, unfortunately, is the stuff that goes between fade in and end of show, or whatever final draft makes you put at the top and the end of the script. Dialogue, in other words, and action. And the little bits of narrative you need to make the dialogue and action make sense, but you need a lot less of that than you think. I mean, it's good to have an outline, of course, and a general idea where the script should go, and maybe even a fleeting thought about the series as a whole. But the truth is, all of the series Bibles in the world are useless unless you've got an actual script to go with them. And if you've got an actual script to go with them, you don't really need a series Bible. Because the only law that really matters in television and movies and medicine and love and money is we're going to do more of what works, and not so much about the other thing. I mean, no matter what you thought, sitting there at the coffee bean should go into the Bible. The problem is people often treat their series Bible like some people treat the real Bible, as the infallible word of God, or the writer, which is a distinction a lot of writers have a hard time making. Once I was helping a young writer out with a pilot script, and every time I suggested a change or an adjustment or mentioned a part of the script that didn't quite pop for me, he would answer with a series of kind of defensive objections. Yeah, okay, but here's why I need that, he would say. But see, I don't want to go there yet with a character. Or, but see, I kind of like the open-ended. I mean, I kind of like that I don't do that here, he would say. Or, I see what you mean, but I'm kind of saving that for like a season one cliffhanger. As you might have guessed, he didn't get to the season one cliffhanger. He was too Bible-believing, I guess. He was a biblically-centered kind of writer. The kind of writer that works at the coffee bean. For a writer, success in Hollywood is all about sitting down and actually writing a script in script format with dialogue and slug lines and everything. To be a successful writer in this business, you need to forget all about the Bible. Just throw the Bible out the window. Well, you know, maybe not the Bible. Since we're talking about Bibles, let's talk about the Bible. I mean, the Bible, which 60% of Americans say they read regularly, although that's probably a little inflated, don't you think? Like the number of Americans who say they eat healthy. But what has supplied storytellers and show business professionals with pretty great material for more than 2,000 years, maybe more, depending on whether you stop at part one or keep going, is the Bible. The Bible, for those of you who are MBAs, is pretty surefire IP and very much in the public domain. It is the foundational text for most of the world that surrounds us, and it has enough tragedy and sex and human weakness to power a limited series for a major streamer, and I mean that generically, not even specifically referring to the blockbuster series The Chosen, which is essentially the four Gospels as a miniseries, and it's terrific, by the way. I mean that there's enough in the Bible to, as they say, form some pretty great content. And it has always been that way. Now, this kind of stuff, movies and TV based on religious faith, aimed at an audience that is sympathetic to the general idea of faith, that's where the MBA and the MWT in show business could actually work together. Because this stuff makes money if you do it right, just to be blunt. But to be blunter, there aren't that many people currently in show business who are interested or engaged in the world of religion and God and, you know, also got to say it, the world of Jesus. Jesus is a very scary word in Hollywood. And a lot of other places, too, actually. In 2024, in America, in the elite enclaves where people write and produce and fund entertainment, religion and faith and Jesus just seem a little downscale, you know? Clever and educated people have a hard time believing miracles and burning bushes and resurrections, although they will go to a yoga class and chant and pay money for healing energy work and invest in Bitcoin, so it's not like they're strictly rational. We sometimes say this or that movie or TV show is faith-based, and I think that's because a lot of people in show business are afraid of it, afraid of how important the Bible is to some people, how touchy some people can get when you put it on screen. And also, unlike a series Bible, the actual Bible is a complex and often baffling collection of stories and words that aren't all figured out. They aren't all as neat and organized as what a writer keys into the laptop at the coffee bean or wherever. The Bible, for a lot of us, even those of us who, like me, do actually read it daily and do sort of think it might be true, the Bible, capital B, often makes no real sense, at least at first. And that is scary, too. Now, I can't say much about the Hebrew Bible. I don't know much about it, despite trying to read it, although maybe that's why I don't know too much about it, because I'm trying to read it. But the New Testament has some serious laughs in it, too. In the second chapter of John, Jesus and his mom are at a wedding, and here's what happens. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." So they run out of wine, and Mary says, "Kid, do your thing." And Jesus says basically, "Mom, stop it." And she doesn't even respond to him. She just looks at the servants and says, "My son will handle this." And of course he does. It's the water into wine part. It's the wedding at Cana, his first big miracle. I mean, talk about an act break. Now, I could go on and on. In fact, as a writer, I have to tell you that I am going on. I'm working on a couple of faith-based projects right now, a serious one and a not-so-serious one. And if I do them right and figure out just enough of the story, but not too much, that is, I don't write a Bible for my show about the Bible, maybe I can be a master of wishful thinking, pitching to a master of business administration, and we can make a deal and see if there's a way to tell some very new, very old, very funny, very sad, very scary, very human stories, which is sort of what we're supposed to be doing in show business. And luckily for us, what the audience has always wanted to hear. And that's it for this week. Next week, reality TV. For The Ankler, this is Rob Long with Martini Shot.